get started with
the first thing. You've been serving on the city council. Why have you decided to make that run for the county seat?
Well, actually, what prompted me was the cutting of services to the people of Keokuk. Particularly the motor vehicle services, but all of the treasurer's services, as well as auditors, in the name of consolidation. This whole idea of consolidation, I have no problem with consolidation if it would provide better service to the people and if it would save money for the county. But what they call consolidation was simply cutting services to both Fort Madison and Keokuk. And, well, I suppose you could say consolidating them in each particular place. But to my mind, the definition of consolidation is to join something together and strengthen it, not take it apart and make it weaker. And they have definitely weakened the services that they provide to the citizens, particularly the citizens of Keokuk. The motor vehicle services are a particular problem. I would say they're probably 80% of the services that people need from the county. And, for example, a guy that's a working guy, he could get off at lunch and go get his driver's license renewed or get off a little early from work. But now he has to take a whole day to go up to Fort Madison to get his driver's license renewed or to register a vehicle or anything of that nature. And I myself had to re-register a car. I gave my vehicle to my daughter and son-in-law, and it took me four trips to Fort Madison to get the thing, all of the paperwork done. And that is just, it's just not right. The people of Keokuk pay taxes the same as people everywhere else in the county. They're entitled to have services and services available to them. It's an odd situation that we have two county seats, but that's just the cost of doing business. I also question the, quote, savings from consolidation. They talked about, I think it was going to be $38,000, and then it was $98,000, and the last thing I saw that the treasurer reported was that they had actually saved $109,000, but somehow a figure of $800,000 was coming in, was mentioned. And my feeling is, if it costs $100,000 to provide two positions of people to serve the motor vehicle service needs of people in Keokuk, well, then that's what it costs. I really doubt that it's that much. It's I would actually, when elected, I wouldn't mind seeing the auditor complete an audit on the treasurer's office to see exactly how much of this savings is, and then if it really was some monetary savings, then I would like to see how we could finance that, because the people are entitled to their services. Also, it should be noted that the equipment and all of the forms that are required are provided by the state.
Would you want it back as it was, where you had each office in each building, or would there even be a little tweak that you would look at?
Well, not necessarily the same as it was. I mean, people are used to having services. They don't like to see any change. But, I mean, if it's savings is absolutely necessary, well, let's say you need to save 20%. I don't know what the budget is, but let's say it was $100,000 or $1 million. I don't care what you pick a figure. But if it's $100,000 and they need to save 20%, well, how about providing motor vehicle services 2 days a week in Fort Madison, 2 days a week in Keokuk, and no services on Friday? Just say we're only providing 2 days a week, Monday to Thursday one place, to Monday and Wednesday the other. You know, there are ways to if savings are absolutely necessary. But my feeling is that those are the types of services that are absolutely necessary to the people. Obviously, roads are important. Parks, all of the other services, the health department, all of the other services that the county provide are all important. But if you had to save 20%, why take it all out of the direct services to the people, the motor vehicle services, for example? Perhaps we could just take 2% across the board. I mean, it's very akin to just saying, well, we need to save money, so we're going to lay off five deputies. Well, okay, you could save money, but guess what? Now you don't have anybody out there providing protection for the people, and there's nobody on patrol. Or you could say, well, we're just going to close Wilson Lake. Well, gosh, my kids like to go fishing. We like to go camping there. Well, I'm sorry. We got to save money. You can't just be draconian and just cut services or cut one place, which is actually what occurred.
And some would say, okay, let's, instead of doing that, why don't we have one central location where all county offices are in one central location in the county? Would you support that, or would you still prefer it to be having services available in the two major population centers?
Well, it's what people are used to having. Certainly, there's other ways to do that. But if you wanted to, let's say, create one county seat, okay, where are you going to put it? Well, let's just find a location that's absolutely the central spot in Lee County. And what would it cost? I don't know. They're proposing to consolidate the conservation department and the health department in a $4.5 million building at Heron Bend. Well, is Heron Bend central to the county? Well, I don't think the people in Donaldson or other further out cities would appreciate that. So it's kind of like if you did something like that. Well, it would be fair because everybody would be equally inconvenienced. I mean, the people from Fort Madison would have to drive wherever that was, and the people from Keokuk would have to drive there. So it doesn't seem to me that the whole point is providing county services to the people. It isn't a matter of putting something where everyone is equally inconvenienced. Our focus should be on what can we do to provide services more efficiently to everyone. Now, certainly, I would have no problem with consolidating services if we could do it in a cost-efficient way and provide better services. Certainly, if we had a centralized one county seat, we could still provide satellite offices for motor vehicle services, perhaps in Keokuk, in Donaldson, in Fort Madison, in 2 days a week, or maybe even with one person, manning it 5 days a week. I mean, there are all kinds of configurations, but no, just saying, well, we need to consolidate. If consolidation, like I said, it should strengthen and it should unify. It shouldn't divide. And if you would do something like a centralized place, it just creates a general inconvenience on everyone, and that I certainly wouldn't support. However, if it were logical, I see the logic of, for example, putting the courts in one criminal justice center at one particular location. We have the courts in Fort Madison. We have the courts down here. Now, of course, the municipal courts, that's what most people would go to, complain about a ticket or a barking dog or whatever. But the district court, we could build a criminal justice center right next to the jail. It wouldn't take we could put more deputies out on patrol to provide more protection for the people because the prisoners could go directly from the jail to the courts and back out. And the judges would certainly be happy. They would only have to go to one place. And I suppose the only people that would be inconvenienced would be the attorneys that have to show up in court to either represent the defendants or our county attorney. And I think that would be something that would be cost-effective, and it would not inconvenience the people, and it would provide better security, better safety, and better overall protection to the people. That's just an idea. But then again, you got to look at, well, what would it cost to build it? If it would cost $4.5 million, like this proposed consolidation of the conservation and health department, well, is it really worth spending that kind of money? I don't know. That is a question that we would have to take to the people, that would have to be discussed. And that's, in fact, what the job of the supervisors is, to be good stewards of the people's tax money and to see that it's efficiently spent and provides the benefits that the people deserve.
It sounds to me like you would prefer to see a public vote on the health and conservation building that's being proposed. Am I reading that right?
Well, I think that the current supervisors are taking a similar approach to that. that basically they said, hey, if you can get the people to come up with voting with their money, basically, if you can raise $500,000, then we would support it. I think that this is the kind of dialogue that definitely should come in from the people, and that that should be considered. I mean, after all, the people are the ones that are going to pay for the building, pay for the bond, pay for in one way or another with their tax monies. Would you rather see your money spent on a building in Heron Bend, or would you rather see your roads improved or the other services enhanced? I know that there are certain elements that were suggested with that consolidation. For example, a wildlife interpretation center. That's certainly logical for the conservation department. It was also talked about having classroom space because they have a need for classroom space for various programs in the health department, and as well as the children coming for the conservation training and stuff. So I could see a need for a building, but the people have to decide how they want their money spent. And then you have to look at alternatives. Well, if you needed classroom space, I just read that the attendance is down at Southeast Community College. And the attendance, on the other hand, the people that are taking online classes has gone up. So they're still providing the education, but they're sitting here with extra space, particularly here in Keokuk. And they have the campus in Fort Madison. How about providing a partnership between the conservation department or the conservation department and the health department with Southeast Community College and take up some of that classroom space for their needs? I don't see any great advantage to consolidating all services in one particular location. There are 37 different functions in the health department. Do they all need to be in one place? You look at who gets the most service, any particular one. Let's say, I don't know, infant child services. Well, if all the babies are born in Fort Madison, well, then it would be logical to provide that service up in Fort Madison. And obviously there's going to be some from Keokuk. So how, you know, you would coordinate that. But you look at where the need is, and then you provide the service there. That would be the efficient way to do it. So I would take any of the county offices. Why do they have to all be in one central location, particularly in view of the cost that it would take? For example, that proposed consolidation, $4.5 million at Heron Bend. My goodness, $4.5 million, you could take $2.25 million in Fort Madison, $2.25 million down here in Keokuk, and find some location, completely remodel it, revamp it, and you would revitalize both towns, both, you know, down on Main Street or whatever, and you could end up with a beautiful facility. Of course, we wouldn't do that all at once. I think that $4.5 million was going to be spread out over whatever the length of the bond was. I'm sure it would be 10, 15 years or something like that. But there are ways to go about things with logic and common sense. And I think that the input of the citizens of Lee County is definitely important. The example that comes to mind is the decision to do this consolidation, to cut the services, particularly to Keokuk. I mean, it was almost done, you know, in the dead of night. I mean, it was just, here it was. It's thrown on the table and passed. Boom, there it is. And how much public input did they get? I mean, I would, you know, put it out, let people talk about it, let people discuss it. Obviously, people knew it was coming because they had some 500 petitions in opposition to it, but they just went ahead and passed it. And I don't know that there were even many people there at the meeting that it came up at. I don't know. It was even on the agenda, and people were aware of it. So I think that that goes to the transparency of our government, the way that people view it. For example, if you wanted to go to a Board of Supervisors meeting, well, they have been meeting for some time in the conference room at the jail. Well, that's intimidating enough. You got to go to the jail to go to a meeting. Yes, and then you got to go through a locked door, be buzzed in, go inside the jail to attend a meeting. That in itself is intimidating, but let's say you do want to go. So you go to the meeting, and there's the agenda, and they begin the meeting. And you'll sit there for, 45 minutes, an hour, while they go through all of the business. The very last item on their agenda is public comment. Well, I wouldn't put the people last. Why not put the very first item on the agenda, public comment? Come in and tell us what you think about it. People participate. And why put it in at the jail? We have perfectly good supervisors' chambers in Fort Madison and in Keokuk. They've been used in the past. We would alternate the meetings one place and another. So maybe they didn't get the attendance that they thought they ought to have, but at least you're available. You're in the community. You're available for people to walk in, and I think we need to make the people feel that they are welcome and they are active participant in the government of Lee County.
One of the bigger issues that's come up of late was the fertilizer plant and the decision to offer such a large incentive package. If you had been on the board at the time, would you have voted in favor of the plan for Iowa Fertilizer Company?
Oh, yeah, I certainly would. There's a way that business works, and that's the way it works. You have to offer incentives. If we didn't get it, we barely got it, and it could have gone to Illinois, could have gone to Texas. There were other people that were vying to get it. You have to look at the cost-benefit. And if you just look at the outright cost, oh my gosh, you're giving $100 million to get this. Yeah, it's a $1.4 billion investment in not just Lee County, but in all of Iowa. It's going to benefit all of the farmers. Well, what's it going to cost us? The way that it was structured, and I have to give a real credit to our current Board of Supervisors, is that we don't have to come up front with money out of pocket. And in fact, the so-called benefits that are going to go back to the fertilizer plant, all of the benefits that we're going to accrue are going to be as a function of that operation. For example, the taxes that we get from the natural gas and other things that they're going to be using in the process more than make up for what it would have cost us to invest to get them here. And the benefit is obviously, at least initially for the first 2 years, up to 2,000 or more construction jobs. Are these people going to just come and leave? Perhaps most of them, but some might come and stay. I can tell you, for example, in Keokuk, we have, unfortunately, a lot of housing that is substandard, needs attention and work. Well, hey, the guy's going to come here for 2 years to work on the fertilizer plant, and he's a construction worker. I could see people coming and buying a home, putting some money and sweat equity into increasing the value and building up our neighborhoods. And then if they have to move when the construction is completed, well, we have nicer homes. We have a benefit to the community. We have an increased tax base if the value of those properties go up. But in the end, we're going to have, I understand, at least 160-some full-time jobs. And the overall benefit outweighs whatever expense that it costs. That's not just my feeling. It's the Board of Supervisors and all the way up to the state and who strongly supported this economic development investment. As well, and we have to understand that this is, although as great an investment as this is, and then people look, well, gee, it's only going to be 160-some jobs. Yeah, this is not the end in itself. Economic development is not a one-shot deal. We could pat ourselves on the back and say, gosh, that was great. We got the largest economic development ever in the state of Iowa. But it's just one step. We have to take another step and another step and another step. Our economic development is an ongoing process. We could use 2, 4, 8, 10 more It's unlimited. How many factories? How many industries and businesses that could come in and revitalize our communities? One of them, for example, that looks extremely promising is Amjet Hydro Turbine. The county made an investment in the development of that, and the city of Keokuk, and I voted on the council to approve assisting Amjet to get started with a loan or an investment of $200,000. And what people would say, gosh, you're always complaining you don't have the money. Well, we took that out of a fund that we need for just that purpose. And as a result, we got a commitment that Amjet is going to build and work in Keokuk. Now, they're in the second phase of their development. They're going to full-scale production. To build a product to test. It's already tested at Iowa's University of Iowa Hydrology Department. And once this full-scale test is complete over perhaps the next year, we hope by the end of 2013, investors could be, the next phase after that would be investment in full-scale construction and development. And if this goes the way we hope, this could provide 400 or 500 jobs, and it'd be clean energy, and it's an innovation that nobody has seen anywhere, and we're in at the start, and I'm very enthusiastic about that. But we have other people, Ravi, this Indian entrepreneur that bought a building downtown, and he has plans for Omega. Vitamin stuff. I mean, all kinds of pharmaceuticals that would tie to the stuff that Roquette and ADM are producing, the starches and the sugars and all of that kind of stuff. So we've tried to prepare ourselves and tried to keep the door open to Keokuk, and we have the Keokuk or the Lee County Economic Development Group and the Keokuk Economic Development Corporation, and these are tools that we use to reach out to the world, if you will. That hey, here's Keokuk. We have a place to invest. We have workers. We want you to come. And how do they come? In big corporate business jets. And we have one of the finest airports in the state of Iowa, if not the country. And while I've been liaison to the airport commission over the last, my term in office for, say, the last 8 years, we have gotten probably at least $9 million in government grants and subsidies to maintain, to upgrade the electronics and the glide scope and the radar stuff. And right now we're completing a project to completely renovate the runways. And if these guys come in, they can fly their big jets in, look at Keokuk, and fly back out again.
One of the issues to come up of late, and it's one I know you've always been involved in law enforcement around here and in your past, The expansion of the jail has been recently discussed. The one issue with it is, though, they don't know how to pay for it at this point. Do you support the fact that they're moving ahead with the expansion, even though that money hasn't been identified?
Oh, yeah. It was a plan from the very beginning. When we planned to build the jail, the plans called for expansion. We knew that expansion was coming, and so when we built the jail, we built the infrastructure inside the jail that would allow the expansion. We knew it was coming, we just didn't know when. And when is now. And we're exceeding the capacity in the women's part of the jail, and it was designed to be built out for at least, I think, another 22 beds that we can go, or 20. I think we're up to 12 now. We can add 20 more space for 20 more. The cost would be something like, I believe the figures were $443,000. I certainly support it because we planned for it. We need it. Yeah, and you put your finger on it. But the problem is, how do we pay for it? I don't know. That's something that, in fact, that's the major function of the Board of Supervisors. How do you find and allocate funds? Do we borrow the money for it, bond it for and pay for it over the next 4 or 5 years? Do we find some money in some other areas of the budget? Yeah, you do all of those things. But I retired from a 34-year career in public service, and I was a law enforcement officer. I dealt directly with jails, and I can tell you that I have seen situations very similar to this, where when the jail exceeds capacity, you have no choice. What are you going to do? Just say, well, we're just going to let them out. No. You know, the law is the law. If you have people that are committed to serving a term, and you exceed the capacity, I have seen the courts particularly walk in and say, you will provide the space. It's called a consent decree. And I don't want to get to the position where the county is mandated, you have to do it. Well, certainly we want to do it, but now it seems to me an opportune time. One factor is that all of the original contractors that built it, that know the building, that know what the expansion should be, are available to do the work. Most of the work that they already done is still under warranty, so it's kind of like you get an added benefit, and they know what we need so they can do it more efficiently. And as I said, we're going to need it we need it now, but we're going to continue to need it. So it has to be done, and we have to find out how to do it. There is an added benefit. Okay, so we're only minimally over capacity. And if we build, oh my gosh, you're going to build it out for 32, and we're only over 12, 13, 14, you know, we're only over a couple. Well, so you're going to have all that extra bed space. Well, I can tell you that there are jails in Southeast Iowa all around that don't have the capacity, that are up against it. What are we going to do with our prisoners? And the federal government all the time is looking for space in local jails, perhaps during the course of transferring prisoners from various courts or jails or something. That space you rent. Basically, hey, you rent a cell, a bed. And the last I saw, cost for a prisoner per day, if you were to rent out that space, could be $80 to $100, $110 a day. That would be money that would directly go back into the general fund, and that could be allocated towards paying off the debt of this construction.
Probably the final issue really is zoning is something that always comes up. Would you look more at extraterritorial zoning, or should it stay as it is?
I have no problem with it staying as it is. And somehow people have got the idea, zoning, oh, that's awful, terrible. Well, what is zoning? All zoning is long-range planning. So if people don't want zoning, I can certainly agree. Okay, we won't zone things. But we will certainly plan in the county for long-range development. Where are we going to put industry that comes in? Where will we put added business, schools, whatever. And we do have a comprehensive plan. I'm a board member of the Southeast Iowa Regional Planning, and we have just completed a comprehensive plan for Lee County. I see no problem with following that plan as a guideline for the Board of Supervisors. It were a matter of formalizing it into a zoning system. I think it's just a matter of putting a name on something. I don't see that it needs to be formalized, but let me give you an example. The Green Bay Bottoms is agricultural. Well, we all know that, but it's not zoned agriculture. It's just an agricultural area. Well, what's going in the Green Bay Bottoms? The Iowa Fertilizer Plant, the largest industrial economic development in the state of history of the state of Iowa. Well, can anybody go and say, well, you can't do that because it's zoned agricultural? No. We don't have zoning. So I know that some people in the complaining about, you know, the NIMBY, not in my backyard. But zoning is a two-edged sword. If you have it, perhaps you're not going to be happy with one aspect of it. But on the other hand, if that area down there were zoned agricultural, then the people can come forward and say, look, you're violating our zoning. And the same thing happens out in the county. You have a residential area, a budding agricultural area, and someone comes in and puts in a hog confinement. And obviously the air gets a little heavy and people complain about the smell. Well, you chose to live out in the county in an agricultural area. That's agriculture. And you see any number of those in Iowa, Illinois, Missouri, people complaining about that kind of thing. But if it were zoned agriculture, there could be ways that it could be, okay, this would be zoned for farming only, and this could be livestock area, and you could plan those areas out in advance. So I see the whole idea of zoning is not something to be onerous and impose on people. It's something that could also protect people, and it could, and it does provide a plan to go by. I don't see that we need that in Lee County. I certainly am not pushing for zoning. It's not on my agenda, but planning is certainly a primary thing. The old adage that if you don't plan, then you're planning to fail. And we have to have a plan to go by. Whether you call it zoning or whether you call it a comprehensive countywide plan. So I don't and have no plan for pushing for any kind of extraterritorial zoning. But I think that planning is of the utmost importance.
All right, the final thing, why are you the best candidate to represent the 5th District?
I have the experience and the dedication and the desire to serve the people of Keokuk and the people of Lee County. I've been the councilman for 2 years. I've been on the city council for 2 terms. As a councilman, I've been chairman of the Codes and Ordinances Committee, the police subcommittee. I'm the liaison to the Airport Commission, a board member of Southeast Iowa Regional Planning Commission. I'm a member of the county PSAP, the Public Service Answering Point, the Consolidated Dispatch, and I was one of the members when we founded that and developed that. I'm a union member. I was a founding member of the California Correctional Peace Officers Association, and I remain in that union today. I support labor and jobs for Lee County. When Roquette locked out our people in Keokuk, I supported the people of Keokuk consistently from the city council all the way down to walking on the picket lines with them. And so I want to see our people working. I want to see Keokuk growing and being vitalized. I have a deep interest in this community. There was an old story about a kid that got teased because he was adopted. And he went to his mom and she said, I think we've all heard this. Well, they didn't have any choice, but we chose you. Well, the reverse is kind of true of me. I was born and raised in California, retired after a 34-year career in public service. And I came back here and I continued my public service. I want to serve this community. I've adopted this community. I love this community. I'm a member of the Chamber of Commerce. I have a small business here. I'm a member of the Cultural and Entertainment District Board. I'm a past member of the City Planning Commission, the Historic Preservation Commission. I was on the Planning Committee for Keokuk Area Vision with Action. I'm a member and past president of the Keokuk Kiwanis Club. I'm an Elk Club member. I'm a member of the Foundation, Keokuk Foundation Founders Circle, past chairman of the Salvation Army Advisory Board, and I'm on the Salvation Army Disaster Response Team. I've worked down there at the river when we were filling sandbags and fighting the floods. And I was down there providing the relief to the people and the water and the food to help people continue that work. I'm still on the advisory board. I'm a member of the First Christian Church where I'm in the choir. I'm a member of the Concert Association, the Southside Boat Club, the Keokuk Yacht Club, the Keokuk Community Choir. I volunteer with Main Street, the Keokuk Area Hospital, and I'm a patron and a volunteer with Great River Players. I'm involved in this community. I love this community, and I want to serve this community. I know that this is a position that serves the entire county, but my priority is to get our services back to the people in Keokuk, to serve the people of Keokuk, and I hope by doing that to also serve the county